Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We were in prayer downstairs, and we were listening to the song, Welcome the Healer in This Place, and then House of Miracles. And, you know, sometimes we tend to just come into this place and it seems to be old hat in a way because we do it so often, and you can kind of become in kind of a like a traditional mode. But when we gather together, something supernatural takes place. It says that where two or more gather together in my name, there I am in your midst. We know that each one of us, it says in the word, that he dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. And so it's not just him being in our midst, but we're also bringing him into this place. So I believe today that the Lord is going to work in your life above and beyond all you could ask or think. I believe that your hearts are going to be prepared to be touched by him in a significant way, that you don't have to remain the same when you leave. That transformation and change can come into your life. Amen. Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, we are so thankful that it says that you're the one that's at work in our lives to will and to do your good pleasure. So, Lord, right now, we just surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our lives to you, Lord. We just ask that you would work in them today. We ask, Lord, that you would cause us, Lord, and allow us, Lord, to leave behind all of the cares of this life that have been trapping us and causing us to lose the focus that we should have on you. And help us, Lord, to set our gaze and set our eyes and set our hearts and set our minds on the one true one that loves us. And that's you, Jesus. We invite you, Lord of miracles, to do miracles in our lives. We invite you, our healer, Lord, to heal us, Lord, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet to the depths of our souls. We do. We welcome the healer in this place.
Salvation was only All I want. just want to stay in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you, all to you. This is our heart today, God. Yes, I just want to move your heart. Keep caught within your gaze, right here in your presence, God. Is where I wanna stay, oh, just to dwell in your house. Waste my hours with my days on you, oh, on you. Oh, on you. Give it all today. Change.
Face stuff, but I'd much rather be full of him facing stuff than barely full or even just a little bit full. So I just want us to stay here just a little bit longer. And I just feel like if you just need a touch, if you're just like, I've just been feeling a little bit empty, let's just keep singing this to be filled up.
Shame, today's agenda. We need to be empty for him to fill us up, and then he will faithfully fill us up to overflowing.
I love it when God is confirming. I got this thing, I don't even remember exactly where I got it, but I read it, and my husband was in his chair, and I was in mine, and I said, babe, would you just, you know, put everything down and let me read something over you? And he did, and it was beautiful, and it was just what he needed at the time. But about 2 weeks later, he said, that thing that you read to me that day, do you have it? And normally I save stuff like that, but I'm really naughty that I save it in either one spot or the other, so it took me a while to hunt and find it, but I did take a copy of it. And so what I'd like to do is read it over you. So that will take some obedience on your part to really listen to what the Lord wants to say to you through this. So if you just rest in his presence, and if you want to, and I highly encourage you to shut your eyes as I'm reading this over you. It says, what's meant for you won't require striving, just trusting. Not everything delayed is denied. Not everything delayed is denied. I love that. God's plan doesn't need your pressure. It just needs your patience. He knows how tired you are of almost. He sees how much you've been holding in. And he also knows this, you haven't walked away. You're still trusting quietly, faithfully, relentlessly. Be still. The scripture that I got with that, hold on, let me get it. Sorry, just a moment, please. It's Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation, and I will be honored throughout the world. And my addition to that is, will I be honored in you? Be still. He's working it out better than you ever could. Very soon you'll say, God, this is exactly what I needed and more. Is he exactly what you need and more? Or are you still striving? Or are you trusting? Not everything delayed is denied. It just means wait. Tired you are of almost. Has anybody else lived their life in the almost? God planned today for us, for our hearts. Who's in this room? God planned it that way. He sees how tired you are of almost. He knows it. But everything that is delayed is not necessarily denied. It's all in his timing, in his perfection for us. Just receive what he has for you this morning. He planned out the pouring out of the Spirit in your life. He planned that out for you. Today, will you receive that from him? Just receive that from him.
Jesus bled and died.
Sing the word. But you know what Yeshua means? Maybe all of you don't, but it means salvation. Salvation. So when we sing that, we're singing salvation to my life. Salvation to the one who's called salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for being our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Lord, from death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from ourselves, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from the enemy's works that was destroying and crippling our lives, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Thank you for bringing your abundant life into us, salvation. Let's sing that one. Couple more times. When you sing those words, Yeshua, just picture his salvation coming alive inside of you, saving you from everything that the enemy's tried to take and steal and kill in your life, and bringing freedom and deliverance.
Oh,
you just picture it? Jesus walks into a room and they say, here comes salvation. Here comes salvation. I want to encourage you to remember that. When Jesus came for you, salvation came for you. It's his name. It's who he is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, greet someone, love on someone. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Check, check. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you to all of you who showed up today. It is a beautiful day, summer day. It's hot. Make sure you stay hydrated. We are going to do our Heart of the House declaration because we love our church. We love our building. We love the people in it, and we want to declare good things over it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead and go to that first slide, please. All right, we're going to say this together on three. One, two, three.
I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen.
So, Lord, we just thank you so much for this amazing church that you've given us, God, the amazing church people that we have, Lord, the pastors, the worship leaders, and just the people who attend from Sunday to Sunday. I just pray right now that each and every one of us that decide to show up on this morning, Lord, that we would be able to receive something today, that we would take it, that we would go home, and we would implement it throughout our week. So we just thank you so much that you have amazing plans for each and every one of us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we just have a few announcements. The first one being our men's barbecue. So this is happening the 23rd. It's a Wednesday at Zeke Villalobos' house. And men, this, I would say, make this a priority, please. Put it in your calendar. Do whatever you need to do to make it. These are great connection times. And, you know, we obviously meeting on Sunday is awesome, but doing these community things where we get to meet outside of the church, especially when there's a good meal and a good word. It's just really fun. And these are great opportunities, again, to invite friends, invite family, invite people who don't have a church home. And so Pastor will send out a text that week and to remind you as well as to give you the address if you don't know where that is. But yeah, put that in your calendar, July 23rd at 6:30. And then next is, I think, the giving. Yep, I just want to thank everybody for giving. Thank you for sowing into the house of God. Thank you for your tithes, for your offering. And I just pray that when you give with a cheerful heart. You give with an obedient heart. You give with a heart that is saying, God bless this. And whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot of it, God bless it. And so you can give online. We have a box here, a box in the back. And yep. And then finally, children, will you please come up so I can bless you out? Okay, I'm going to pray for this one, and then the rest can go. So, Lord, we thank you for the little children. We thank you, God, that you are here in this place with them. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless, Lord, our children's ministry. You'd bless, Lord, the kids that call this church their home, and that you would be with them. God, I thank you, God, that there is no junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that operates in us adults operates in them. And I just pray, Lord, that you would move with them, God, as they go downstairs and hang out and learn about you. And I just thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, baby.
All right. Well, before we start sharing, I want to let everyone know, she's like already saying, no, don't say it, that Lexi is having her birthday today, Lexi Villalobos, turning 20 years old. And those cupcakes out there, just when you eat one, just remember that it's her birthday. But we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Are you guys ready? On three, one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lexi. Happy birthday to you. We love you, Lexi. Congratulations.
Speech. No speech, right?
Praise the Lord.
You have to hold it, honey.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. Last week, for those of you who weren't here, Gay had a health issue in the morning, and we were supposed to be sitting here. And as I said, that the Lord is, he's in control. He knows. And so Eric shared an amazing word on prayer, and it was great. A time to and a good seasonal word for us to really focus on the Lord in prayer and to not take it for granted. But today we're going to get to do the message that was on my heart to do last week. And I asked Gay if she would join me because I really enjoy it when Gay preaches with me, and especially when it's but it's got a message that we're both relating to really well. This is one of those messages. So what ended up happening, I was last Saturday, not yesterday, but I was just waiting on the Lord, and I was just asking the Lord, you know, I've been doing the series on the parable series, and is there anything else that you would like me to share on? You know, I don't want to just go out of the gate and not hear what you want. I knew that he wanted me, and I felt to do the parable series, but all of a sudden in my heart came this song, Love Came Down. And you guys probably know the song. We've sang it here before, but if you don't, it says, Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, Lord. I'm forever yours. And so the idea of love coming down for us is kind of a radical idea when you think about it, because love is a kind of a subjective and intangible thing to us. It's, you can't always feel it. You can't always taste, can't touch it. You can feel it sometimes if you have someone that's loving you, but love, you know, we know it's an action. We know it's a verb. There's many things about love, but love coming down itself is pretty radical. And so I kind of wanted to, as I always like to do, give the biblical case for that love truly did come down. It's not just a song. It's not just a cute phrase. It literally is what happened. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We ask, Lord, that right now as we study your word and read your word and share this truth, Lord, that you came down and you were love, you are love, Lord, that would fill our hearts, and Lord, that we would just realize in this time, Lord, that your love has been working in our lives since our birth, and that you've never given up on us and you never will give up on us because you are love, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start in John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 in the NIV. Go ahead.
The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him.
So here we have in John, him describing that this true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So we have this idea here that light is coming into the world. For me, I've always felt like when I read about light and love, they go together. It seems like where light is, love is. Where light illuminates hearts and lives, love seems to prevail. And so it says that he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And it's interesting, you know, for those of you who grew up in church, where you never experienced, you know, not knowing God and not knowing that he came for you, that he was love coming for you, that he was light coming for you. I'd never even realized that he came into the world to bring me to himself, to bring me to the Father. And I didn't recognize him. You know, and I've said it before, but literally when people would share the gospel with me before the Lord opened my heart, it was like Charlie Brown TV, where the parents were going to Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. That's what it's like. But when the Lord opened my heart, all of a sudden I recognized that he came down for me, that he was my salvation, and that I didn't have to, as I've said before, go to hell, which is a good thing. Amen.
Just a couple weeks ago, I've been dealing with a really terrible health issue since January, and I had to go back yet again. It was my seventh time dealing with the same issue, and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for the doctor to walk in. And my regular doctor wasn't available to see me, so I had to go to the urgent care side of the doctors. And so I'm sitting there and waiting, and finally, you know, you get the, and then they walk in, right? Well, I'm watching this person walk in, and my brain is registering, wait, I know you. But it took me a while for my rest of me to catch up. And it was our doctor. And he had quit being our doctor 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago. And it was because he was doing something different, still in the doctor world, but something different. Well, he walked in, and he was the doctor for urgent care that day. And I'm like, oh, like I was just surprised. Now, he's been our doctor for over 30 years. And it honestly took me that long. We don't need to even worry about doing that with Jesus. That recognition, if we're available for it, can happen in an instant.
That's good.
And it comes down to us looking and seeing and seeking and wondering, you know, who this is, but knowing, you know that you know that you know that saying, you know? So all of a sudden, it's like your heart equalizes. It's not, you're not tempted to be flustered so easily by the spiritual things of God, because all of a sudden you recognize him in you.
Amen. So I think most of us know this scripture, but it really communicates this idea. This is John 3:16, the New Living Translation. Why don't we all read it together? It's up on the board. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his own and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. I love that. We read it in the King James and the New King James and some other translations. It says, for God so loved the world, and you can kind of lose the meaning of it. It's saying, this is how God communicated his love to the world. This is how God's saying, I love you, world. This is how God's saying, I love you, individual. That he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, his one that was precious and dear to him, that was not just his Son, but was him. It was in essence himself he was giving, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I love the way the New Living Translation says 1 John 3:16. Did you guys know that 3:16s a lot of times are very powerful? Well, this is 1 John 3:16. Go ahead.
We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters.
You could spend another whole message on giving up our lives for our brothers and sisters. But we know what real love is. We know how God loved the world because Jesus was given to us and Jesus gave himself for us. I mean, how many of you seen that garden scene where Jesus is praying and some he picks, you know, drops of blood being coming down off his forehead and hitting the rock, and or at the very least you see him agonizing over this idea that he has to go to the cross for us. He's struggling. He's saying, Father, if there's another way, if you've got a plan B, I'm open. You know, let's share it with me and let's get it going, because plan A is very rough. You know what I'm going to go through. You know the pain, not only of the cross itself, but the separation that I'm going to experience as I become sin who knew no sin for mankind, so that they can be brought to you. I'm being in their place of that rejection that you feel towards them. He knew that this was going to be agonizing. And yet when he gets up, you can see the resolve, because Father, not my will, but your will be done. And you know what said that? Wasn't just Jesus the character or Jesus the person, it was Jesus' love. It was love itself saying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Love chose the difficult path. Amen. All right. Romans 1:7. Now we're going to start building the case that Jesus doesn't just love the world, but he loves you.
Romans 1:7 in the NLT. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace.
Who are loved by God? You're loved by God. You are loved. I've shared this before, but there was a time that I had to go back to that basic truth that I'm loved. And it wasn't because of my behavior, and it wasn't because of the way I conducted myself, and it wasn't because I was being good, or it wasn't because I was a pastor, or it wasn't because, you know, I was a husband and trying to be a good father. It wasn't all of that. I was loved because Jesus just loved me. God loved me. God loves me. And I would go around the house saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible, I had to go back to the basics that I'm loved. And, you know, another word for that in the King James says, be loved of God. And I love this because, you know, beloved is a phrase that means, and we'll look at it, worthy of love, esteemed. It's dear or favorite one. But if you think about it, beloved also is beloved. And that's kind of that idea. You're worthy of love. And I know a lot of us don't feel worthy of love. We feel like our behavior doesn't measure up to the love that God wants to give us. And so we push him back. We push his love back because we say, I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. You know, I haven't measured up to it. But that's not the way God's love works. God's love comes into us, and God's love changes us from the inside out. It's not something that we get good enough to receive his love. We receive his love, and it helps us to become good like him. It transforms us from the inside out. So when you read that word beloved, remember, beloved. Beloved by God. Let him love you. He's calling you his beloved, so you have to be loved by him. All right. Romans 5:5-6.
And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners.
So again, Christ came at just the right time. Love came down and rescued us. Love came down and set us free. Love came down and transformed our lives. And now, because that love came down and brought us to himself, now God's love, his how dearly he loves us, now God's love through the Holy Spirit fills our hearts. You're not absent of God's love when you've received Christ. You're full of God's love completely.
Not just, you know, it's not like I have a good measure because, you know, you're a pastor. You deserve to have God's love in you, so you must have more love. No, I have the same amount of love in me than you have. And that's because I have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is love. So you're not trying to get God's love to come inside of you or come and, you know, wrap his arms around you, even though that's nice sometimes to picture. You're changing your mind by renewing your mind and realizing that the Holy Spirit lives in you, so love lives in you. And this is the way that the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament says it. It's kind of like the Amplified. So it says, because God's love, and he's going to describe it as the urge toward reunion and the unambiguous uniting acceptance from God. In other words, God's love is a full embracing love of us. It's not like a love that says, you know, I'm going to love you today, and then we'll see how you are tomorrow, and then you might get my love. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever dealt with people who have conditional love, but it's very frustrating because they can really love you at certain times, and then they can really show not love at other times, and it's like it's very confusing. But it says, because God's love, that love that's unconditional, has been poured out in us or in our hearts, a gush and shed forth so that it now floods within our hearts. In other words, when it says that God's love was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that word poured literally means overflowing, means gushing. And this is what's happening in us if we could open our hearts and open our spiritual minds to see that we're not vacant of God's love at all. The Aramaic says it this way, but hope does not disappoint because the love of God has come in overflowing our hearts. The Spirit of holiness who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit lives in us. If you're ever thinking or struggling with, does God love me? Just remember that Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Remember, Jesus said, I will send my Spirit. It's better that I go away because I'm going to send my Spirit, the Comforter, and he will be with you and be in you. And so he's in us. And so that love of God is in us. So if you're ever feeling like you're alone or feeling like you're struggling, say, Holy Spirit, just remind me right now, deep in my being, that I'm loved. And you know, when you're loved, it's a powerful force. Love, it says that God's perfect love eradicates basically all fear. You know, and when you think about it, a lot of times when we're behaving badly or we're going through a bad day or something like that, fear tends to grip us. We're going through a situation, it's like the fear tries to come in. Well, if we let God's love come into our hearts, that fear is eradicated. Fear and love cannot remain in the same place, just as light and darkness can't remain in the same place. When you have light, it's going to permeate the darkness. I mean, you guys know, we've done it several times. You know, we've done it in very dark places where we've had the shades covered, and we start that candle lighting service. And, you know, the one little candle at the front of the church, all of a sudden, the whole church, you're seeing every nook and every cranny. Before it was black, it was dark. But you start to see, and then as the light goes around and it's spreading, it becomes more and more. And it's just little candles illuminating the whole building. Darkness cannot stand up against light, and fear cannot stand up against God's love. You have something? Okay. She's waiting. Okay. So here's the crux of it right here. Romans 5:8.
But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
So God is showing, it says in the Williams, God's proving his love for us. In other words, I'm proving to you that I love you. I'm making it so that this is recorded for all mankind that I love the world, that I love you. And I'm proving it by sending, love itself down. Right. Love came down, rescued me. He sent his son, he sent love into the world so that we could be shown love and we could receive love. Says in the Amplified, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. When I came to that revelation the first time, wait a minute. Hold on. I thought I came to you and then, you know, you came into my life and you started, you know, fixing me and working in me. And that was the time it happened. No, God proved and showed his love in Mike Lindell all through my life. You know, when he saved me from the car wreck, when he saved me from, you know, probably overdosing on drugs, when he saved me from all those things that could have killed me, love was working in my life. Before I was worthy at all, because I was rejecting God. I didn't want him to mess with my stuff.
You liked your stuff.
I liked my stuff. At least I thought I did until I didn't. Yeah. All right. John 17.
24 through 26 says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them.
John 17. The true Lord's Prayer. This is a whole chapter is Jesus praying to the Father. Jesus declaring his place with the Father previously and his place where he had put him now, where he was teaching his disciples and sharing God with his disciples and teaching them how to observe his name and walk in his name. And the very end of it, he says that, Lord, Father, you love me from the foundations of the earth. He's saying, Father, you've always loved me. You've never stopped loving me. You've always loved me. And now that love that you have for me, I'm praying that you will be in them with that same love. And you will love them with that same love that you love me. Jesus is, and we know that the Father loved the world, that he gave his son, but Jesus is declaring, I want that love to be in them, this love that I experience, this love that lets me lay down my life for all the world, let that love be in my people so they can lay down their life for their world. You know, we think that a lot of times you have to be some kind of great, you know, amazing minister of the gospel to change and transform your world. You don't. And sometimes it can be a hindrance because a lot of times we get so much in our heads, just like the Pharisees, that we start focusing so much on the scriptures itself that we miss the scriptures becoming life in us. It says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We focus on trying to know the scriptures so much that we miss the one that already knows us and let the word transform us. And we end up like sometimes being hindered by that. If we would just get to the place where we let the love of God fill us like it did Jesus, we would be ready to lay down our lives. Yes. It wouldn't be like someone would have to twist your arm, because that love is a laying down its life love. And it's already in all of us. We just have to let it have room to grow. Amen.
So a few weeks ago, I got up early one morning, and I would say by about 11:15-ish or so, the Lord had reminded me of a friend that I have, and he reminded me like 25 times. And the first time it was, hey, I'm thinking about Linda today. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Now, I have two friends that are Linda. And I knew exactly which Linda he meant. Because, you know, I've walked with him a long time. He's in me. And so I knew immediately which Linda it was.
And he said to my spirit, pray for her. And so I began to pray for her. And then he said, are you praying for her? Like a couple minutes later, I'm like, Lord, I'm praying for Linda. And then he kept saying, Linda. And so this is like the course of 4 hours. It's not just, you know, a few minutes. It's like for 4 hours, we have this internal conversation about Linda. And he keeps saying, Linda, and Linda, and Linda. And finally, I knew what that meant because I've worked with him a long time, and I know when he's, you know, being pushy with me to do something. But he loves me even though. But anyway, so I called her. Oh, first I texted her, and I said, are you available for a couple minutes? And she said yes, and so I called her. And now, my friend Linda, I've known Linda since I was in middle school. That's a long time. Let me tell you, that's a long time. And my Linda is 6'2". She is an eye. I mean, people's eye turns toward her because of her height and because she's always smiling, full of love. And I called her. And I said, hey, sis. And she goes, hey, what are you doing? And I said, well, I said, you know, I'm putzing. That's what I call it. I'm putzing around the house, you know, whatever I see, I do it, whatever it is, you know, and just kind of, you know, getting things in order just because they were out of order, not because I needed to. But so I told her, I said, I'm just putzing around. And she kind of giggled. And I told her, I said, so I'm now, this is a woman that has grown up Catholic. I want you to keep that in mind, okay? And I've known her since I was in middle school, okay? And at one particular time when we were in high school, my aunt purchased a home in Boulder Creek, California. Now, Boulder Creek, California, and where we were at in Salinas, California, was like, you know, a 3-hour drive. And my aunt purchased this mountain cabin. Well, I've never seen a cabin that has 5 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, 2-level, but they called it the cabin. But the cabin actually belonged to Linda's grandparents. So I want you to remember this story for this simple reason. God went to a lot of stuff to make sure that Linda and I were connected. From grade school, I mean, middle school on, like he went through a lot of, we were in the same drill team, we were in the same homeroom, we were, I mean, just over and over, just things throughout our lives. When my oldest sister was really sick and passed away, she was 45, Linda came to the funeral, because it was in Salinas, that's where my older sister lived. And then before that, she came to the hospital when my sister was in the hospital. So we've had this connection, okay? So when I called her on the phone that day and I said, Linda, I said, you know that I've walked with the Lord a long time. And she goes, yeah, I know that. And I said, what I want to tell you is I know when he wants to get my attention. And he has brought up your name to me at least 25 times. So I knew I needed to call you. And I said, and then I said this startling, just this little blurb. I said, and I know you're Catholic. Well, I wasn't telling her anything she didn't already know. I said, but Linda, the God, the Catholic God loves you as much as anybody. And I said, and I can tell by the way that we've shared in the past few years and how you've shared in the past 2 years on Facebook, that you're beginning to know the God of love. That's how I said it. And she goes, yes. And I said, so God's impressed me to do something this morning, and I want you to know if at any time you're uncomfortable with this, all you have to do is say so. And she goes, okay. I said, so can you put us on speakerphone and set the phone where you're going to be able to hear me, but you don't have to hold it? She goes, done. And I said, okay. Are you sitting down? Yes. I want you to take your two hands, and I want you to lay them in your lap. but I don't want you to lay them in your lap where they're just sitting there. I want you to turn your hands upward, like someone's going to be walking across the floor to give you a gift, and you're able to receive it because your hands are in the receiving mode. And she goes, done. Like, she keeps saying done like that. And I said, Linda, I'm going to pray over you. And I know that there's stuff going on with grandson and daughter and all of that, but this morning, this part is for Linda from the God who loves her so much. And I began, you guys, I didn't hold nothing back. I began to pray with her. She began to pray with me. She began to agree with everything that I was praying for her. She was saying, yes, Jesus, like all of the things that you hope for her heart. She's receiving every bit of it. And I said to her, I said, Linda, there's a song that we sing. And this is in the middle of the prayer, right? There's a song that we sing at church, and this is what it says. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I'm yours forever, forever, forever. So he is sitting over across the way in the dining room. But he's listening but not listening. And so I believe that God was speaking to him as God was ministering to Linda. See what I'm saying? And this is what I said to her. And this is where this part of this John 17:24 comes in. You loved me before the foundation of the world. Today, who's sitting here? God planned it that way from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
He knew what you would need as he knew what Linda would need. And so when he's doing this word, he's saying to me, hey, babe, this is a word I really think that we kind of need to do together. And I said, okay. He goes, and I cannot get it out of my mind that it's about the song that we sing at church. And I said, what song would that be? And he says, love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. And I'm like, well, did you not hear me say that over Linda last week? And he goes, well, if I did, it wasn't like bells and whistles or woo, woo, woo. It wasn't anything big. It was just sinking into his spirit as it was being poured over Linda. So from the beginning of time, God didn't just have that day for Linda. He had it for you. He knew we'd be sitting here. He's not surprised by anything that's being said. He knew you would be sitting there because he loves you. Because he wants to be as close to you as he can get. And I've said it so many times over the years, I want to be so close to God that you can't tell where I end and he begins.
Mm.
That's how close I want to be to God. Can people see the line in you? Or are you learning to, I want to have as much of God as I can because I don't want them to see the line between us. I want it to be covered. God planned today for you, my friend. He's not shocked that you're sitting where you are, and he's not shocked by anything that's being said. Love came down to rescue you today. Love came down. And if you can get that truth, like Linda got that truth that day, God can begin to pour into you as your hands are lifted, the giftings of the Holy Spirit, the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's not going to do it to make you be all spiritual, acceptable. He's doing it because of love, guys. Mm. Because of love. If all that other stuff comes, ooh, good. If all that other stuff happens in you that you don't know you're so sure about that or will that ever happen, God's got it, you guys. And he wants you to understand just how much he's got it. so that you can rest like Linda did with her hands up and receive that he is love and he came down to rescue you and to save you and to be with you forever.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys to do what Linda did that day, kind of what I did when Gay read that over me. I'm going to have Gay pray over us to receive and come to a knowledge, like Paul said earlier, you know the love of God, so you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, without any reason or hesitation. The enemy can't lie to you and say you're not loved, because the Holy Spirit has been poured out in your heart. But that love. Go ahead, babe. Go ahead and just hold out your hands, just like you're ready to receive a gift. The gift of God's love.
Oh, God, we love you so. But if loving you so is not enough, please add to it. Oh, Jesus, you planned today. And if we were sitting in this room alone, it wouldn't change a thing. You would still want to come down and rescue us and save us. Yes. You would still pour out your love, even if it was just one person sitting in this room. Oh, but God, your kids are here. And they're wanting to tap into the very love that came from the foundation of the earth, of the world. Oh, Jesus, would you just pour into us? You had today planned for us as a gift. And we receive it. Because we know that any gift you give is for us and not against us. That any gift you give is all that we need. Jesus, help our spirits to recognize you. Help our spirits to open wide to receive you. Help us, God, to not put conditions on our love toward you. Help us to understand that in our humanness, you died for us. Help us to understand that your love is all that we really need. Rescue us today, God. Would you come down and set us free? We know that you are ours forever. Your rescue, God, may look different to each person, but it is your rescue nonetheless. Your freedom may look different to each one of us, but it's freedom nonetheless, because love came down. Help us to be so full of you that people cannot recognize when we end and you begin.
Yes.
Would you just pour like a misting rain down over us. Help us to just sense it in every part of who we are, God. Let your love heal. Let your love renew and refresh. Let your love call out to the one that's holding back. Let your love in us and for us be recognized
and not have any conditions on it. Pour like rain over us today, Jesus. I'm going to open up the altar for anybody that feels like they need a little more, and that you're, by obedience, you're coming forward to receive, but he's already got you covered, you guys. But if you need that, I just want to open this area up to you. He does not want you to walk away today not full of who he is. He does not want you to walk away still wishing that you had done this or done that in the service. Fear and love cannot commingle. So we say no to fear and yes to love, yes to God.
Of your son.
came down and set me free. I'm yours, I am forever yours. In mountain high, valley low, I sing out and bind my soul. I'm yours, I am forever yours.
It's kind of really the key, isn't it? We need to remind our souls. Our spirit knows we're loved. Our body could care less. Our soul needs to know that we're loved. Our soul needs to be reminded that we're loved, that we're rescued, that we're delivered, that we're free, that we're His. And radically enough, He is ours. God is yours. That's such a radical idea. He's just not heaven's God. He's your God. But He's not just your God. He's yours as far as your Father, your loving Father. Amen.
I'd like to share one more bit about my friend Linda, if you don't mind. I've mentioned this over the course of the past year or so. But Linda and I are same age, you know, go to school together. Well, Linda's daughter, Stephanie, 20 years ago, had her first pregnancy. And our daughters are the same age. And she had her first pregnancy, and it was twins. And it was twin girls. And they suffered from trisomy 18, which is a chromosome issue. And normally it's either the baby is born dead, stillborn, or will soon pass after a few breaths. Well, that happened to one of the twins. She only took a few breaths and she passed. But the second twin lived for 6 weeks at home, and then she passed. So here's this Mama Stephanie having already buried two baby girls. And now her son, Baelin, B-A-E-L-I-N, has been diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And over this past year, Baelin, who's only 15, he has had radical chemotherapy and radiation. He is getting ready for one more chance, one more outrageous hope that it's going to help. But they're at the end. They have nothing else to offer him. Would you please pray for my friend Linda and her daughter Stephanie and her son and Stephanie's son, Baelin? Last year when Pastor and I came on a Sunday night, we ministered to the youth. It was so fun. We had such a great time. But I brought Baelin up. I actually put his picture up so that the kids could see, hey, that's somebody that's my age, like, you know. Well, he really needs our prayers. So if we could pray for Baelin, I would appreciate it. And every time you think about this word through the weeks ahead and God reminds you of Baelin, would you just pray for him? I'd appreciate it.
Father, we just ask that your love that came down, Lord, 2,000 years ago, Lord, that love that you showed the world, Lord, how much you love them. We know that that same love is how you love Baelin. And so, Father, we just pray right now that you would just touch this one that you love with your healing hand. I can see him, Lord, just like the one who says, if you're willing, Lord, and I know, Lord, you are willing to bring healing and health and life to your people. So, Father, we ask right now that you would touch Baelin, Lord, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lord, he's looking forward to potentially having a radical treatment that may eradicate this cancer. Lord, you can be so much more than a radical treatment. Lord, we pray that the radical healing power of God would come upon Baelin right now. And that from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, the power of God would flow through and kill and destroy the cancer. In Jesus' name. Oh
all God's people said, amen. We'll love you. Have a great week. And remember, most of all, you're loved by God.